Hey guys, it's Drew. Tom and Chi Granville is back with some impressive meal deals. Here's what you can look forward to if you stop by and get cheesy. If you're always searching for the kids' menu, look no further than Tom and Chi, where kids under 12 eat free from 4 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, or enjoy half-off grilled cheese donuts every Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. And if you download the free Tom and Chi app, pop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Tom and Chi is also proud to support Chia. I think that's how I say it. A locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chi on 44th Street in Granville near Cabela's. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another scintillating episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that still records on its members' birthdays. Happy birthday, Stacey!
Hey!
Yay. Stacey hates that I did that. We're the podcast brought to you by Tom and Chi in Granville. Be sure to like them on Facebook, and of course, brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, which is what brings us here today. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacey.
I'm West Coast Avenger Greg.
West Coast Avenger Greg in the studio!
Woo!
Dude, how long has it been since I had you in the studio?
It's been a year.
What the hell?
Geez.
What the hell, man? No more of this.
This
no
is
more.
What happens when I move to the West Coast. I'm sorry. It's
okay.
Just the worst.
It's all right. You can be California dreaming, but someone who's always Michigan scheming is our guest today. The wonderful, lovely, and illustrious B-Stick.
Hi, guys.
I don't know who's more uncomfortable, Stacey when I say happy birthday or Brittany when I say something nice about her.
I probably think it's me. I was going to say it's a tie, but now it's freaking on, Brittany. Jeez.
Oh,
I know this isn't a visual medium, but the look on Brittany's face when you said that was like one part dagger, one part embarrassment, and one part true dat.
True dat and straight up glee. But speaking of true dat, gleefulness, and some stories that we wouldn't normally tell, this is the Comic-Con Recap, a podcast!
Woo!
Normally, if John were here, we'd have to talk about Star Wars, but now that I've said it...
Obligatory mention.
We no longer have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, Comic-Con, of course, was October 20th through the 22nd, took over most of downtown, and I would say, and this is not to kiss up to B-Stick, who happens to work there, I thought it was a roaring success. I know we won't have numbers officially for a few weeks yet, but B-Stick, do you think you can give me like a guesstimate how we did this year?
Oh, God. Well, I know our Saturday numbers were up from last year, which was good. Day of sales for Saturday were around 5,000, and that's just people coming up to the door. And then total for just Saturday day sales was 9,700, not including three-day tickets. So, yeah, we had a good amount of people come through those doors.
And those people were treated to a really good time. I thought the vendor hall was about the best it's ever been as far as diversity of products, price of products. I don't know about you guys. I thought it was way down from last year. I thought I got a lot better deals on the stuff I bought.
Oh, yeah. I found this great piece of art. Oh, gosh, I don't even remember the classic piece of art that this was, but it's all the people that were sitting at the bar. It's like Last Call or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. And it was all the DC superheroes and villains at the bar. It was really, really cool. I loved it. And it was pretty darn cheap. I was pretty happy with it.
I got matching Kirito and Asuna galaxy prints for like $30. You know, I got to decorate a new house. It was great.
Yeah.
Big, beautiful prints, high quality paper. Like I felt great about that purchase. And then the guy was like, well, hey, if you want two more, I'll give you two for 20. And I was like, all right, yeah, we're making deals around here. That was on Saturday, man. That's prime real estate day. Usually you don't get deals like that until Sunday of a con.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people making deals on Saturday. And of course, the commission prices for Grand Rapids artists, who are some of the best in the world, in my opinion, and I may be slightly biased, are always super affordable. I've got another awesome Andy Budnick commission on the way. And you know what I loved the most? Was that he was booked. Andy sold out of commissions. He had no more room.
Oh,
like, I'm waiting on mine to get dropped off at Tardy's.
That's awesome.
So I'm stoked. I'm happy that I have to wait for my commission. Like, I'm happy for my friend Andy that he did well enough that I have to wait.
Good going to the king of the city.
Yeah, always props to the king of the city. But let's break this down. And we've talked about the vendors area, but I definitely want to share favorite stories from the weekend. Because we all had really different experiences. Of course, Brittany, you're behind the scenes more than any of us.
Right.
Literally and just
everywhere.
Kind of everywhere. Stacey, you were wandering around taking photos all weekend. You didn't really have a primary job other than take a ton of photos.
Yes.
And then, Greg, you were my main panel man this year. You kicked ass coming in on Saturday. And then me, I had a lot of weird stuff I was doing. I was kind of all over the place, too. So, Greg, I want to start with you. You flew how many freaking miles to be here?
2,500 miles.
2,500 miles just to spend the weekend with little old us.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's kind of like I love you guys or something like that.
What was your favorite moment from the weekend, man?
I got to interview James Marshall, who was James Hurley in Twin Peaks. And B-Stick can attest to this. I was a puddle of jelly in this man's presence.
It was adorable.
But what I loved most about it was that this man was such a sweetheart. Like, he walked up to the, he came up to the panel room before it, and he kind of peeked his head in, and he looked at his manager, and he goes, "Do we have, like, a good number of people in there?" And Brittany turned to him and said, "Yeah, yeah." And the guy looked in, he goes, "Yeah, you got about, what, 30 people or so in there?" And he was like, "Oh, my, like, that's really, really cool." So we brought him in, and I just sat there, and I geeked out about Twin Peaks with him. I asked him about behind the scenes stuff, and he was so affable and so personable, and the audience was so into it. We talked about theories from the show, and I mean, I was on cloud nine. I don't think I could have had a better panel experience than that, period. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
We even had a log lady in there too.
There was a log lady. There was somebody dressed up as Agent Cooper and Audrey Horne. That was really cool.
And for fans of Twin Peaks, those are probably awesome references.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I totally don't get them, but I assume they're the best.
You and I are a good
Agent group. Agent Cooper even had like a damn fine cup of coffee in his hand.
Yep. Agent Cooper had the damn fine. We brought a damn fine cup of coffee for James, and he was like, you know, I'm good, but thank you.
Aw.
I didn't realize that was a reference. I was in there for that part of it, and I was like, what the hell's with the cup of coffee?
Yeah.
And I'm just standing there, like, looking around, like, I don't get it. Why would you do that?
They drink coffee all the time.
It's a motif.
Eat cherry pie and donuts. So all of those three together.
Okay.
We didn't have donuts, and we didn't have cherry pies.
I should have brought donuts and lined them up on the table in the little stacks.
You see? Missed opportunities.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Brittany, what was your best moment at Comic-Con this year? Clearly, it wasn't lining up tiny rows of donuts.
No, one of my favorite things that happened was actually at the punk rock concert on Saturday. Playing it and everything, we had a few hiccups, and I was running around a little bit stressed, but my favorite thing happened when someone showed up in one of the inflatable dinosaur costumes to the punk rock concert.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, I'm going in. And he just goes into the middle of this mosh pit dressed like an inflatable dinosaur. And that is the laugh that I needed that day to be like, all right, we have one more day going. This is why I do this. All right. Okay. We have this.
Yeah, because Saturday was stressful and overwhelming. And I know by Sunday you wanted to kill one of my coworkers.
Yeah.
That's okay. I've wanted to kill B-Side many times as well. And he's aware of the amount of times other people have wanted him dead.
No. Not that no. But a little overwhelming, yeah.
But overall, I mean, Brittany, as the person who sees the most guts of Con, I guess, what do you think was the biggest success? Because I know that there was a lot going on when everything started on Friday.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. The biggest success, which we were happy about with our celebrities, there was a constant line for Billy Dee Williams. Jim Cummings' line was super long. We had to pull extra volunteers to help with that. Kevin Sorbo. It was just great to see that people were so happy to see them, too.
So it was just one of those, like, a success to you guys is the big name celebrities that you bring in, having people constantly wanting to see them and making sure that they kind of hit those quote numbers that they get, right?
Right, right. But I like to see people wandering around in the cosplay and just happy and smiling and laughing and being together. So that was what I really enjoy about it, is walking around the vending hall and hearing people talk excitedly about, oh, my God, I just met Kevin Sorbo, or, oh, my God, I just got this Jessica Jones print, and it's going on my, you know, people are just excited to be there and wander around.
Well, and it's because you can identify with them because you were like, oh my God, I met Kevin Sorbo.
Yes, and he gives people, after you meet him, he'll give you a business card that says, yes, you just met Kevin Sorbo, now call your friends.
It's what Bill Murray should have done if he was thinking ahead, not, you know, just Bill Murraying about.
Except Bill Murray's would say, no one will ever believe you.
You maybe just met Bill Murray, I don't know. Yeah, something along those lines. Stacy, you were out photographing the people that B-Stick was enjoying hearing. What was your favorite thing from the weekend? Although I think I have a guess that your favorite thing was about a minute and 47 seconds yes. long.
Yes, indeed. Ben nodding for 45 minutes at Kevin Sorbo.
Can we make just this a GIF?
The entire time. And Biff is sitting next to me, and I can't remember who pointed it out, but I know we were both just enamored with Ben, and I'm like, Kevin Sorbo's really entertaining to listen to. The dude can segue into plugging himself and then into a story like none other.
Plugging himself and then a story about plugging someone else.
Hey-o! Oh. So here we are at Kevin Sorbo, and this, I mean, it's a great interview. You've got tons of audience participation. Ben is asking some really great questions. You can tell that he's interested, mostly because he's nodding constantly. And Biff and I are just...
You guys haven't seen this video yet. It is on our Facebook page, Like Us, The Court of Nerds. And it is just one of the most ridiculous things that I have ever watched for that long. Because you're kind of wondering when he's going to stop nodding. And just so, spoiler alert, he doesn't stop
it doesn't
nodding.
Stop.
And that was just when Stacy had to stop filming it because she was laughing too hard.
You can actually hear me and Biff laughing in the video. And Ben, we went up after and I was like, Biff and I were just nodding. We're like, yeah, this is a really great, really great.
Oh, yeah.
And he just was like, what? And I'm like, dude, you nodded the entire time. Oh, I couldn't even concentrate.
Henry Zetterberg bobblehead.
The last time I laughed that hard actually was watching the 10-hour video of Gandalf nodding to the techno music.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the first thing I thought of while I was watching it is that music going on under the background and Ben just doing his nodding head like a bobblehead. It was excellent.
I thought that Ben's questions that he posted up there.
That went along with his nodding.
Yes.
Yeah. To get the full experience, please check out our post on Facebook, The Court of Nerds. And if you haven't liked us yet, we'd really appreciate it if you'd like us. It would be very special for everyone involved. I think you guys probably have both heard this story already. And B-Stick, you probably caught at least part of it. My best moment came on Friday, which is rare for a con. It is rare that your best moment comes on day one. But I was lucky enough to persuade my day job into also paying me for being out there, which was great. And I was sitting at our broadcast table on Friday, just kind of holding down the fort. And this little girl is standing across the main hallway from me with her parents. And she's wearing the most adorable pixie cosplay from X-Men. So she's got her bright yellow armor and her blue bodysuit, and she's got these gorgeous rainbow wings, and she just looks adorable as all hell. And this little girl is staring directly at me. And I was like, is it because I look like a freak?
Oh, true.
Am I that hideous?
You're at Comic-Con. No one at a con.
Right, but first of all, it says Drew everywhere. But I look at this little girl, and I kind of wave. I'm like, hi, do you want to come over here? Expecting her to be like, no, why are you looking at me? You're weird. And she nods, like, enthusiastic, comes bolting across the main hallway, and her parents are just trying to keep up with her. And she looks at me, and she goes, you're Big Drew. And I was like, as a matter of fact, yeah. I listen to you in the truck with my daddy. You're my favorite. So for those who don't know, I host a midday show on a classic rock station, and this little girl's father was telling me, yeah, we listen to you when we drive around and do errands during the day. And her mom says, she's been really excited about Comic-Con because she loves comic books, but when she heard on the radio that you were going to be here, it went from, I'm going to Comic-Con this weekend, to, I'm going to meet Big Drew at Comic-Con. And apparently that was all she had talked about all week. And Biff, in his infinite wisdom, starts chanting, hug, 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 hug. And I looked at this little girl. I probably was crying. I'm not totally sure. I blacked out for a while. And I just looked at her, I was like, do you want a hug? And she goes, uh-huh. And she just walked around, and I swear to God, I wrapped that little girl in my heart, and she is still there. I will never let her go. I did let her go with her parents, though. That would have been weird otherwise.
Yeah, just a bit.
But that was my... How do you top that? Like, this little human in her adorable pixie cosplay wanted to see me. Like, what? I'm not Jim Cummings. I'm not Winnie the Pooh. I'm not Kevin Sorbo. I'm not... But it was one of those moments that reminded me, like, why we do this crap? You know? Like, why we do what we do? Why we're the Court of Nerds? Is because we were that little girl. I mean, maybe not specifically that little girl. I was never into Pixie, but whatever, you know. Magic was cool. So that was my best moment of the con, because it just kind of, it put me in the right frame of mind for the rest of the weekend. And it really kind of set me up in this, like, all right, this is going to be a good one.
Here's the warm fuzzies. They're going to stay.
Here is your Friday feel-good, Big Drew. Now roll on and do this weekend. And we did. I thought this weekend went phenomenal from our end. But, Brittany, as you know, one of the first things Mark always posts after a successful con is what can be changed for next year.
Yep.
So.
What would you like to see? What can be changed?
What would you like to see? Who would you like to bring back? I'm going to start things off because it's never easy to be critical. And I don't think mine are overly critical, but... Stacey, I think this is something that you and I discussed. Aisle 900, the last row in the vendor hall. We need to shift everything over towards the cars about 5 feet.
Please.
And open up that, because it seems like row 900 is the only one that's ever too thin.
It's so narrow. Yeah. It is a roadblock.
And then you've got all that open space over by like the T-Rex and the cars and Tom and Chi.
It's like the Sahara Desert.
Yeah. And it feels kind of disconnected from the rest of the con. So maybe just kind of expanding out the vendor area into that kind of car attraction area might make things a little bit more cohesive and gives you more space to walk around and buy stuff, which everyone is all about, buying stuff. My other thing, and Brittany and I have talked about this, I would love to see a WWE like legend, some kind of Hall of Famer to bring in that little, because I think that's the one niche you're missing right now.
I think that's the one thing that John brings up whenever I see him.
Well, that's because John has a one-track mind, but a four-track heart.
I mean, he dressed like, is it?
Oh my God. I'm so glad he's not here right
now. I know. He dressed like Jericho, right?
Yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
with a coat and everything.
The
he was like a beacon.
Of Jericho. It was
he
on
was
our
like
Twitter.
A beacon of nerd though for the first morning of
and he wasn't wearing a shirt.
Oh.
He God. Wasn't.
I was swooning. That much exposed John.
No, I just asked him where his clothes were and but yeah, that is the one thing he asked me every single time. So we are looking into it.
I know. And I know it's definitely something that Mark has talked about he wants to bring in. He doesn't know the genre, so it's not familiar to him.
Right.
And I get that. It's hard to like be like, okay, well, let's spend all this money to bring in this person that I know nothing about. So right. Hopefully we can educate Mark a little bit over the next year, and I can meet Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Or I feel like we should go with Randy Orton. Just saying.
Just because you want to bone Randy Orton. Comic-Con is not booked for your pleasure, even if it is your birthday.
I do what I want.
I know you do what you want. No one argues with that. So, Stacey, what would you improve for next year with GR Comic-Con?
Oh, God, definitely row 900. I think that was one of the first things that I said. Like, every year this row is way too small. I don't really. More British people.
More British celebs.
More British. Mm-hmm.
More hunky British celebs.
Tom Hardy.
Someone from Outlander.
Yeah, Sam.
Someone in a kilt. Hoyen. Maybe. Yeah. In a kilt.
Oh, kilts all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all day.
Are we booking Comic-Con or Stacey's bedroom? What are
Outlander.
We booking?
Outlander.
Outlander.
Okay, Brittany's too. I don't care whose bedroom I'm booking.
Brittany.
Brittany is like, is that a blush? Are you blushing?
I do that a lot.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just don't notice because I'm so enamored by your laugh. Look at, there's the daggers again. There it is. Oh, it's so good
it's
every time.
It's that three-prong look
it
right
is.
At you.
It's a trifold attack.
Uh-huh.
Greg, what about you, man? If there was anything other than making sure you're there for Friday.
There's that,
flight time, rewinding the clock, since we cannot travel in time yet.
get more time off work.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, the biggest thing was the gaming room was, again, very difficult to find, as it was last year and the year before as well. And I know that there was, like, this big long hallway that you had to go to get to it, and it was like you had to go outside of the main area to get to it, and it was just kind of out of the way. The other one was the Monroe Rooms, where there were some pretty big guests. Lucy Pohl was there.
We had Weissman and Vietti over there on Friday night.
And Mike McFarland, and it was so out of the way. Like, you had to kind of go up the escalators, and then you had to go up an elevator that was kind of slow, and I don't know, maybe bring some of those guests into more of the main spaces.
Maybe have that Monroe, if that Monroe room is going to be used again, because I know there were a lot of changes this year born out of necessity / dairy farmers.
And lunch ladies.
Yeah, dairy farmers and lunch ladies, you bastards, mm-hmm. all of you. I don't mean that. If you're listening to this podcast and you're a dairy farmer or a lunch lady, please don't stop listening. We need you. But
and I realized that some of those were necessities. It was just they were a little bit out of the way.
We had no other options.
Right.
Yeah.
We were pigeonholed. We had no other options. And it was either at that time, do we do it at all, or do we put it out of the way for people? And people would rather have it and have to walk a little bit. So next year it changes, though. So
yeah. Next year, new dates. We're in November now.
We are in November now. Yep. That way we could have more space.
Now, was it more space, or was it also to get that extra couple of weeks cushion from New York City?
No.
No?
It's space.
All space-based. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to think of the other bonus of now we're far enough away from New York City that Mark can look at booking guests who are at New York City to come here. There's enough of a window for that.
That's true, too. But a lot of the people that are at New York City are also bigger names than we'll bring here. Than we can bring here at this time.
I'm just saying, we were tweeting with Mitch Gerards and Doc Shaner. We got them on the hook for next year. Yeah. So. That's right, Twitter. It's powerful when you're doing it totally wrong, like me and Ben. Guys, this past weekend was just such an absolute blast. I mean, everything from, you know, Greg getting to nerd out with one of his favorite cast members from one of his favorite shows.
Mm-hmm. I got butterflies.
Guys, I won't lie. The Jim Cummings panel was magical to begin with. Because he seems exactly like how I would be if I was, you know, a mid-50s self-depreciating man. So basically when I'm in my mid-50s and less famous. But half the fun for me, Brittany, like you said, like I loved doing that panel with Jim Cummings, even if I barely spoke to the man.
He was a super nice guy, too.
Oh, just the sweetest guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, the best moment of that was after the panel got done and Emily sheepishly, and if you guys have met Emily, sheepishly is never a word that I would use to describe her. She sheepishly turned to Jim Cummings and says, Mr. Cummings, sir, we didn't get, and he goes, it's okay, honey, what? And I was like, oh my God. And she goes, my favorite voice that you ever did was Don Carnage, and no one asked about it, so I thought maybe if I asked you about it, and he launches into this Don Carnage diatribe about how, if I weren't you, I would be jealous of me being you. And it was just awesome. And watching Emily both become completely elated and die inside a little bit was just the greatest thing that's ever happened. Like, it wasn't a moment for me. And Britt, I love that you brought that up, is so many of these moments aren't about us. They're moments that we're watching other people enjoy so much. Like, I used to get super annoyed at the, and I'm sorry, anime kids, the stereotypy anime kids who always do something dumb and interrupt everyone else. Like, there was that group that was, like, running through the main hall anime style. I used to get so annoyed with them.
Can you please describe for people who are not anime viewers what that means?
Nope.
The only thing I will say is Naruto.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Naruto run.
I don't have 10 years to watch a million episodes.
I got to tell you, in 2 months, so can you.
Hold on.
I don't know that I'd brag about that, Drew.
Naruto only has, what, like 450 episodes?
One Piece, though,
in the 800s.
Yeah. Naruto Shippuden alone ended at 600. If you include original Naruto,
you're
looking at over 1,000 episodes and something like 12 movies.
Oh, my God.
I immediately regret bringing this up.
I know, right? You brought it up with my only other anime bro on the cast.
I wish you were in on the Mike McFarland panel because we just had a great time with that.
I wish I could have been too. Mike McFarland, another voice acting demigod who was at the con this past weekend. I would have loved to have met him. Like, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I would kill to do voice acting work.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got my job and I like what I do here. But it's so cool to hear these people talk about, like, the world that they exist in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, oh, yeah, well, we can't tell you that.
So one of the things that Mike McFarlane brought up, and I'll do this really quick here, is this thing he called bomb tracks. So
yes.
in the middle of a recording session for, I think it was for, if I remember correctly, it was Attack on Titan. He's recording his part, Jean, and at one point he recorded a... Oh, no. This is when he was Master Roshi. There's a part in the new Dragon Ball Z where everybody says a line the exact same way, and it was something like, she said what? Now, there's really only one way that you can say that line and have everybody do it together. Well, his was the first one, so everybody had to model it after him. So he purposely recorded one that was way off. It was like, she says what? So the next guy that came in, I can't remember the name of the guy who came in, listened to that one track, and they go, 3, 2, 1, go. She says what? And the guy listens to it, and you hear him go, what the fuck? And everybody in the recording booth lost it. And then they went back and they re-recorded the real one, but... I thought that was a very entertaining story.
Those are great, dude. The voice actors have some of the weirdest stories, especially from anime recording sessions.
Oh, yeah.
Because English voiceovers, for those that aren't aware, the English voiceovers for anime shows are done on the super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these guys have to build their own home studios to stay competitive. And otherwise, you're traveling into these, like, shitty portable studios. Steve Blum told a lot of those stories last year. Mm-hmm. One involving a finger in his
yes.
butt.
I will never forget that.
Oh, because you captured that moment perfectly on film. Oh
my gosh.
Even with his thumb in the air. If you guys haven't experienced Grand Rapids Comic Con, I don't know that we can recommend it highly enough. I mean, get the 3-day pass, be prepared in advance, and oh, by the way, whatever you do, don't be a dickbag douche canoe and sneak in and then brag about it on the internet.
Yeah, I just saw that. God. What the heck?
Yeah, what a fuckleberry hound, huh?
I love the takedown.
Oh yeah,
posted.
The takedown by an anonymous member of the Comic-Con staff was epic. It was epic. It wasn't Brittany. We can say it wasn't Brittany, because I don't think you have enough mean bones in your body to do such a thing.
Well, yes, inwardly, but I appreciate the person that did this very much.
I appreciate this person as well, mm-hmm. very much. And I hope this person hears this, or it is communicated to this person.
Oh, it will be communicated to this
how
person.
How awesome I believe this action was. If you guys are wondering what we're talking about, head over to the Grand Rapids Comic Con Facebook page. There's a little story y'all should read. Okay? Plus, if you haven't liked them yet, like Grand Rapids Comic Con on Facebook. They're delightful. I like them very much. Then you know who's coming without having to listen to us. But keep listening to us. Anyways. Why did I just undercut our own product?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Can we sell ourselves about our panel that we did?
The fan panel? The fanels?
Yeah. Because I really want to talk about how that British dude owned John.
Do we want to tell
this?
I'm surprised.
I don't know this. Please tell me.
Do you want me to tell the story?
Please.
I was doing a concert, so I don't know.
You were doing a concert.
This is for you, Brittany.
So we did the first ever Court of Nerds live fan panel. And after a little bit of messiness at first, mostly brought on by Sledge trying to give the same woman 30 prizes, we kind of found a groove.
Yeah.
And we were taking questions from the audience, and a girl asked us, you can only pick one and you can't watch the other two. And she said, Doctor Who, Sherlock, and Stranger Things, which is a weird trio, but sure, whatever. It's probably what she's watching. So we're going down the line. And of course, you know, Stacey's like, Doctor Who.
I didn't say it like
you
that.
Did.
Oh, I'm she said it sure. in the most seductive way.
It was so
possible.
Sensual. So sensual.
There was like sweat dripping from the walls.
The
when
whole
she was
room
done.
Basically turned into a porno.
A red curtain fell.
There was lace, velvet. Anyways,
randomly, there was a couch in the corner.
Moving on. So it gets to John, right? And John, in his infinite wisdom. I don't know, the exact line was something about he just thinks British humor is stupid.
That was the gist of it.
Yeah, yes. He basically insulted British humor pretty broadly, right?
And emphatically.
And emphatically. Like, sorry, not sorry. I'm John. Mm-hmm. I'm small Italian and I hate you. And your country. Fuck your tea and crumpets. You know, basically what he said.
Did you just become Jersey?
I don't know. In my head, when John gets angry, that's what happens.
As an Italian, I can attest, you start getting a little Jersey.
Yeah. Really?
You get angry.
Okay. Yeah. You get a little
I'll
bit
pay attention
of
to
the
that.
Boardwalk. Yeah. So the next question from the audience came from an angry British gentleman.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. Is it just that you think our humor's too highbrow? Do you just not understand? Like, this guy was legitimately angry at John.
He was shaking.
But the whole room is dying laughing.
In typical British fashion, he waited his turn until he was called on to say something.
Yeah. He didn't even slam John right off the bat. Here's the best part, and we talked about this afterwards. It wasn't even like John did his super offensive impression of British people.
Oh, la, 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 la.
Look at me. I've got tea and crumpets. I am so British.
See, now this guy is going to be listening to this cast, and he's going to call us and go, oi, oi, oi. That was a really terrible impression of me that you guys was doing there.
I need to have a row with John. I'm going to fight him. La, la, la.
Hairs on a bobbin, old butt. Hairs on a bobbin.
And I want to point out that the impressions...
I feel like we're starting to get a little racist. Yeah.
Yeah. The impressions that... Hold on. The impressions that the three of us are throwing out here are still not as offensive as John's. It's still not as bad as John's impression of British folk.
When that guy started talking, and I was so surprised, maybe I shouldn't have been, there were actually quite a few people that came to hang out with us. The room just lost their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, John is just like, well.
I'm John. I'm so cool. Oh, that was a great moment. And by the way, for those considering doing a fan panel, it is way less scary than you think. Just go in with a plan and don't let Sledge take over. Whatever you do.
Things that we learned this year.
Yeah.
No. Listen, I have to say this. This was my first extended weekend with the Sledge. And he's a wonderful, beautiful human being. And if you're not listening to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, you're doing something wrong. Oh, and if you stole a Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood t-shirt from Con, you damn well better listen to the cast, you dick.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's the same guy who snuck in?
Maybe it is the same guy who snuck in and stole the shirt.
The plot thickens.
Fuck you. I don't mean that. I'm sorry. That was too harsh.
That was very aggressive.
It was unnecessary. Which means it's about time for us to go and have Stacy's birthday feast. So, with that being said, I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm West Coast Avenger Greg.
Brittany, you still say your name.
I'm Brittany. I feel like she's checked out, man.
Fuck it. That's how this ends.
She's on her phone. She's checking her emails.
I feel like we could try and do an offensive Brittany impression, but we would just be really quiet.
She would hit us. Are you kidding?
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook, we're the Court of Nerds, on Twitter, @court_of_nerds. If you don't mind getting weird, intruding pictures in the middle of the night, you can add us on Snapchat @court_of_nerds and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.